In just a couple of minutes, I'm going to be talking with Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter Charlie Savage from the Boston Globe, the guy who broke open the story about the president using signing statements to say, I don't care about the law in this country. I don't care that the Constitution says the Congress makes laws and the executive branch makes sure they're carried out. These signing statements that Bush issues when he signs laws say, yes, I recognize that Congress is trying to make laws, but I see myself as president as not bound by them. My expansive views of the extent of my own power as president trump the Constitution. Now, the Government Accountability Office, the GAO, nonpartisan, followed up on Charlie Savage's reporting, essentially, and said, okay, when Bush issues these signing statements, which say even though he's signing a law, he doesn't feel bound by that law, when Bush does that, when he has issued signing statements, has he, in fact, then broken those laws? When he says he doesn't feel bound by those laws, is he signaling that he actually will break them? Has he been breaking those laws? Charlie Savage from the Boston Globe joins us in just a few minutes to talk about what the GAO found. I think it's constitutionally critical and really alarming when they looked into whether or not Bush has in fact been breaking these laws. Stay tuned for that. Welcome back. It's 34 minutes past the hour. This is the Rachel Maddow Show here on Air America Radio. Our next guest is Charlie Savage, the Pulitzer Prize-winning legal affairs correspondent with the Boston Globe. He won the Pulitzer for his reporting in the Globe on signing statements last year. Now the GAO, the Government Accountability Office, has just, in essence, followed up on Mr. Savage's reporting to look into what happens after the president says in a signing statement that a law passed by Congress doesn't really need to be followed. What happens after that? Does the law get enforced or doesn't it? Joining us from Washington to talk about the GAO report is the Boston Globe's Charlie Savage. Charlie, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
How did this GAO report come to pass? Who in Congress asked for it?
The chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, John Conyers, along with the chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee, Robert Byrd, asked for this about 4 months ago. At the very beginning of the Democratic Congress, Conyers held his first oversight hearing on the issue of signing statements and announced that he wanted to make it a major focus. Mm-hmm. But then the firings of the U.S. attorneys kind of overtook that. This, however, may put it back on the floor.
Have I characterized the GAO, the remit of this report accurately? They're looking into what happens after a signing statement is written and whether or not the executive branch actually does follow through on the president's statement that these laws don't necessarily have to be followed, in his view?
That's right. The report itself only looked at 19 provisions that Bush had challenged. And remember, he's challenged more than 1,100, more mm-hmm. than all presidents combined before him. So this is just a sample. It was a dipping the toe in to see whether it would be useful to do the kind of work that may require some subpoenas at some point for the more classified stuff, that the stuff that everyone's really interested in, the torture ban, the oversight provisions in the Patriot Act, and so forth. This didn't look at any of those national security things, and it only looked at 19. But it was a way to sample the field and see whether it was merely rhetorical bluster, as some administration defenders had argued, that didn't really have any consequence, or whether it had consequence. And what the GAO found was that of the 16 provisions that should have been enforced, because three of them were contingent on events that didn't happen, of the 16 that should have been enforced, 10 did get enforced as written, but six did not. So six out of 16 did not get obeyed by the federal government. And then the question was, is that because President Bush told the executive branch bureaucracy that these provisions were not binding on them because they violated his own constitutional powers as he sees them?
And the GAO didn't actually have a finding on that. They said all we can say is that we looked into it in quantifiable ways and found out that the executive branch didn't follow through on this stuff. And we don't know if it's because they wouldn't have followed through on it anyway or if they're taking their cue from the president, right?
Well, yes. One of the things they did was, the way they conducted this was they wrote to the general counsels of each agency and they said, here's a provision that you were bound to obey. Here's a signing statement, though, that called that into question. What did you do? And the correspondence went through that counsel's office. So they did not go and interview the line official who made the decision about what to do or not do, about what that person's motivation was. And so they weren't able to say in the report, was this directly caused by the signing statement or was it just a coincidence? I can say, just looking at it myself, I think it's probably a mix. There was one, for example, where there was a law that the Pentagon had to answer a certain committee's questions within a certain timeline, and one, they busted the timeline. They missed it by a couple weeks. That doesn't seem to me to be predicated on anything other than, you know, bureaucratic snafus, because they did eventually provide the information. On the other hand, there was one that involved the Border Patrol having to move its illegal immigrant checkpoints in Tucson, Arizona, at least once a week, so that some smugglers wouldn't know where they were going to be. When Bush signed that, he said that only he as president gets to decide how to enforce the law, and so that provision would be viewed as advisory rather than mandatory, which is language he uses a lot. And when the Border Patrol explained why they hadn't obeyed this law, that they moved these checkpoints around, they said, this is an advisory provision. So that sounds an awful lot like they were aware of the signing statement and were following through on it.
They actually used that same language that Bush had used in the signing statement in explaining why they didn't do what Congress passed a law saying they had to do.
Right. This is an advisory provision, and we decided it didn't make sense to us, so we didn't bother to do it.
It's so constitutionally important. This is crazy. I mean, this is really fundamental stuff. Charlie, you noted in your article about the GAO report in the Globe today that the GAO didn't look into the underlying questions of the constitutionality of signing statements. They just looked at their effect, and their effect is that, as far as I can tell, they're essentially removing the federal government from the legal direction and oversight of Congress, which feels like a constitutional crisis to me. But in the reporting that you have done, in terms of what you have found out in reporting on signing statements, what do you think about the constitutionality of how Bush has used signing statements? When people like Conyers and Robert Byrd are asking for reports like this, do you see a constitutional showdown coming down the road about these signing statements?
Well, Conyers has certainly raised a lot of heated rhetoric about this, and Byrd, the appropriations chairman on the Senate side, yesterday also had some very angry words when he learned that these things, which had been in his appropriations bills, though he didn't necessarily wasn't the lawmaker who sponsored them, were just being flouted. I would say there's two issues here, and they're both complicated. One is just signing statements in general. Are signing statements, or are the idea that a president can sign a bill into law but then selectively not enforce chunks of that bill because he, you know, sort of declares on his own that it conflicts with his own interpretation of the Constitution, even though no court has backed that up. Is that okay or not? Well, I can tell you that last year the American Bar Association had a bipartisan blue ribbon panel that looked at this, and they decided that was not okay. They said the Constitution says you veto it or you sign it and then you enforce all of it. Those are your only two choices. However, there are some other legal scholars who think that signing statements can be okay if they're used sort of modestly. If everyone agrees that the provisions are unconstitutional and Congress just kind of wrote a sloppy bill and it's not controversial, maybe that's okay for a president to use it. This other group of thinkers would say, but there's still a problem here. The problem is that President Bush's legal theories that he's advancing in his signing statements are not uncontroversial. They are out of the mainstream views in some cases about a president's power to act beyond the will of Congress, beyond the will of the rules and regulations that have been laid down in federal law. And so when you start using signing statements to push theories that do not receive support from Supreme Court precedents and from most legal scholars, that's when it starts to be a problem.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems to me, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not a constitutional scholar. I'm just a civics geek, right? And it seems to me like if you really think that there's a constitutional problem with a law that Congress has passed, you can point that out to Congress when they're making the law so that they change it. And if they pass it anyway, then you have your Justice Department lawyers, you have your Solicitor General challenge the law. I mean, you challenge it by taking it to court, which is the place where you evaluate constitutionality. The president doesn't get to say what's constitutional and what isn't. I mean, all of this stuff is, all of my frustration here is about the overall issue of signing statements. And you and I have talked about this many times before. What I think is so important about the about the GAO report is that now we're seeing that this is not just a legal theoretical problem. This is actually something that has a real world impact. When the president tells federal agencies that he doesn't think the law applies in this case, then they don't follow the law. And it really is taking the federal government out of the control of Congress in any way. It's completely pushing Congress out of the constitutional equation. And I can't imagine that Congress is going to take it lying down.
Well, they did for the first 6 years of the Bush presidency.
Yeah.
There's a new Congress in town now, so we'll see what'll happen. And, of course, another thing that's interesting is that we've had almost 6 months now of the new Congress, and there has not been a single signing statement that came out of the White House. Some people have said, well, does this mean they've abandoned signing statements because they just don't want to annoy the new Congress? They've got other battles to fight. And I asked the White House this yesterday, and they said, no, in fact, there's been no policy change. We still fully intend to use signing statements, and we think it's perfectly legitimate. It's just that Congress has not passed many bills at this point that are, major substantive bills. Most of their bills have been renaming post offices and stuff. It's this fall when the annual appropriations and authorization bills come through that we'll really see how the White House responds to the new political environment when it comes to signing statements.
That'll be very interesting. And I know it's been 11 of the last 12 appropriations bills passed by Congress that have had signing statements issued to go alongside them. I mean, my suspicion is that the White House, with all of the things that it has on its plate right now in terms of confrontations with Congress, that there may be policy reasons why they haven't put in any signing statements since the Democratic Congress has been in town. It may be political reasons too, and they may be wanting to at least delay a showdown with Congress over this kind of issue as long as they can. The proof will be in once those appropriations bills start getting passed, whether we see more signing statements, I guess.
That's right.
Charlie Savage, thanks for your continued reporting on this, and thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
Charlie Savage, legal affairs correspondent for the Boston Globe. Charlie has a book coming out this September from Little Brown called Takeover: The Return of the Imperial Presidency and the Subversion of American Democracy. It's out in September. The pre-order pages are up now in places like Powell's and Amazon and all that stuff.